Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
We do welcome you here to Hope is Alive, and we are coming to you live broadcasting from the Radio Ranch, and we'll get the buttons pushed, and we thank you for joining us, and we'll see who's on the line. Chris, are you there this evening?
I'm here, sir. Thank you.
Good evening, Chris, and I guess Mr. Cox is on the line, too.
Yes, I am aboard. Good evening.
Well, good evening, Mr. Cox. Thanks for joining us. Gentlemen, I'll turn it over to you. I'll be here if we get callers, and I'll let you know when we get them in. I wanted to start out, if I can. I got an email, and I wanted to read it. And it's from a sister, Darlene, and she says, God, Doing the Works of Jesus by Mr. Cox today, have started reading it, and boy, am I excited. For the first time in my life, I believe I will do the works of Jesus, as that is his will, and I so want to do his will. Thank you, SFA. God bless you more and more, with more and more revelation of God's will for his remnant people, and continue to teach, preach, share, encourage, admonish, exhort, excite, and challenge his covenant people to eat, live, and do the word as Jesus did. In the love of Jesus, Sister Darlene. And now I promise you, that wasn't a solicited letter. I know our pastor would say that sometimes. Got the email today from Sister Darlene. So praise the Lord.
Amen, it's getting awesome out. Well, that excites me. And what better than to do the works of Jesus?
Amen.
That's certainly what he told us to do, isn't it? He that believeth in me, the works that I do, ye shall do also, and even greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. It's an amazing thought that we have a power of attorney from our Jesus to now do his works in his name. An amazing thought.
Amen. Well, Mr. Cox, the way I'd like to see the program go tonight, I know there's people out there that have questions, And I encourage anyone that has a legitimate question about deliverance, about issues going on in their family, issues going on in their life, or maybe generational curses or things involving Masons that may be coming down the line and troubling them now. If you've got that kind of question, I believe the number is 307-745-5913. We encourage you to call in. But until someone calls in, if they call in, I'd like to talk to you further about your ministry. If they want to find out more about it, they can go online at deliveranceusa.org. They can also go into the archives for Hope is Alive at our website, because in the archive, they've got all of the programs, and one of the programs was you just giving your testimony. So that gives your full story. So tonight, if you want to do just a brief introduction, just a few, you know, a couple of minutes, and then we'll start in with some questions and go from there.
Oh, sure, Chris. And again, it's great to be with you brothers tonight. Well, I'm probably like a lot of the listeners. They got born again when they were teenagers. In my case, it was 13. And I went to church all those years, clear up to age 44. Some things happened in my life. I got focused on the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but this friend of mine that I'd grown up with had been going to a little church that was doing exorcisms, and he told me about it. I don't know where all the listeners are coming from, but in my case, I really needed to see it to believe it. After all, this is a space age. You know, give me a break. How could there be evil spirits still around today? I'd seen stuff like that in the movies, but to think it was real today was a little hard to swallow initially. But my friend, who's a pathologist, again, I'd known him since the second grade, and I knew he wasn't a nut. We were best men in each other's weddings. We hunted and fished together through the years, still fished together quite a bit. We're really close. And so when he told me his little church was actually doing exorcisms over there, they had a lot of hurting people coming. Like many churches, as far as that goes, there's many, many churches that have people calling in needing help. And, of course, pastors typically would counsel and pray with them. And that was what I was familiar up to that point. But this little church had taken another step, having realized those scriptures like you were quoting. It's a little full gospel church. They just were reading it and doing it. And they saw those commands where Jesus said, "Believers in his name shall cast out demons." And they had people coming with problems that, if you research the Bible, you'll find some of those names of problems that people have today so often are actually in the Bible as demons. Well, they took the step of actually trying to minister to people along those lines. Problems like fear and anger and depression and addictions of all kinds. And they got into a ministry of actually commanding those to come out in the name of Jesus as a possible evil spirit. And as my my pathologist friend told me, they were having a pretty good degree of success. So I told him I'd really like to see some of that kind of ministry. I needed really to see it to believe it. He worked it out, and I sat in on several different ministry sessions with people that came, and as I've often shared, I'll never forget this 40-year-old man that came in, and he had a bunch of problems. The pastor interviewed him. I was just sitting in watching, and they quoted some scriptures after writing those problems down in the interview, and they started addressing those as the possible names of demons. Again, things like fear, anxiety, panic attacks, depression, anger, rage problems, addictions, hate, and so forth. They were doing that with this man, and they were addressing something on the list, and he suddenly went into a manifestation, the first demon manifestation I'd ever seen. His face contorted, his eyes were glaring, and a voice came out that was deeper and different from the voice in the interview. And as a pastor that was leading it, he inquired and commanded to know, "Who is your master?" It spoke back and said, "Satan." Well, I saw all that, and it soaked in. My God, there must be something to this, because as this man was already a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, and we all knew that. And so it soaked in with me, this must be real, because I knew a Christian wouldn't go around saying something like that.
But do you think maybe God set you up so that you would receive it?
You know, Chris, I'm not surprised at anything.
Well, you know, I've heard you mention before about the tormentors. And because of the industry that I work in our family business, some weeks we're around 10, 20, 30,000 people. And I have, over the last several years, seen an increase in people that just seem so uneasy and burdened. And, you know, a lot of people, when they think of torment, they think maybe of a torture chamber. But I think someone that has an issue that comes in every day and consistent and persistent, they know it's contrary to the Bible. They know that it's contrary to their real heart. They're tormented with it. What is your experience around that, and what do you see upon people?
Oh, absolutely. And of course, you'll tend to know a spirit by its bad fruits, just like the Bible says you know a tree by its fruits. Well, you'll tend to know a spirit by its fruits. And when people have weird stuff going on in their life that's totally off the wall, things that are out of balance and reoccurring, and yes, tormenting, then it is certainly suspicious it could be a spirit, which is really good news when you think about it, because if we can figure out that any problem we have going on in our lives is an evil spirit, we have the power to deal with that in Jesus' name. So that, in that respect, it is good news to find it out, because many people have been going for years to doctors, never gotten free of various things, and yet in one deliverance session or exorcism session, people get free. So that's what drives us on, Brother Chris.
Well, the one thing that had tormented me, and you know, once I started knowing this, and the Lord sent someone with me to me in 2000 that was familiar with deliverance, mine was depression, and it was generational, and it was oppression. You know, it would just be such a heavy attack upon me that I wasn't able to do anything. I knew it was contrary to the Word. I couldn't overcome it with diet or anything else that I did. It was persistent, and it was tormenting. And until I was set free from that, it was a burden every day that was contrary to the Word of the Lord, that was contrary to the joy I was supposed to be walking in, and it was hindering who I could be for the Lord in the kingdom.
And of course, that's the mission that Satan and his demons have, Christians being the targets. They want to block our lives, block the use of our God-given gifts, and of course, block our destinies and our ministries. So that figures. You know, Paul had the same problem with the church in Ephesus, as we read over in Ephesians 6 and in verse 11 and 12 there. And Paul was addressing the church, and he finally said to them, these Christians, he said that we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, the demonic realm. And so as Paul was warning the church back then, the church needs to be warned today. It's still the same ball game. I haven't seen any cutoff in the spirit world. It's still the same ball game. Wouldn't you agree, Chris?
He still seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. And from what we can see, he's doing a real good job at it right now.
Yes, because they're tormented people. Let's face it, all around us. And if you want to see activities by demonic activity, watch the 6 o'clock or 10 o'clock news, and you will hear about demon manifestations. There are people doing such weird things, there is absolutely no common sense to it. Take a mother killing her babies and stuff. Well, you know, that's, something is strange. Well, what's strange is it's demonic. And most people, just the courts and all, of course, just say it's insanity. But from where we're coming from, we see, we run into spirits of murder quite a bit in our ministry. We did 772 exorcisms last year. We'll do that many and probably more by the time we total them up for this year. And that's still just a drop in the bucket. But we run into spirits of murder surprisingly often. And a lot of times it's even generational, coming down the generational lines by curse. And then sometimes by a satanic assignment put on people, on Christians even.
Now, just because someone might have a spirit of murder doesn't mean they're going to go out and murder someone. But what it does is it predisposes them to, maybe if they get drunk one night, or a bit of rage happens or something goes on, that demon's going to do all that they can to try to make them murder somebody.
Exactly right. Yeah, they'll try to manifest themselves in a weak situation on behalf of the person, take advantage of it.
Now, what I've noticed is how demons can work together in a group with several people. You might have one person that has a demon of rage, and you might have another person that has a demon for another vice, and they just seem to work together, and usually against a Christian. And I think you mentioned to me earlier about someone that you did a deliverance session with, that people around her, the demons were functioning as a team to bring her down.
Yes, I'm not sure what case you're referring to, but I remember we were manifesting to a man one time. That was, he was in business, he was from Dallas. He'd come up here to Oklahoma City for ministry, and the demons manifested. They don't manifest, that is where they talk out of the person in every case, but it's usually about one out of three. They still get free without the manifestations, but in his case he did, and this demon was talking through his mouth, and it said that it was there to influence the people in around him so they would not do business with him. And I thought that was really interesting. Of course, we broke all that off, and it seems to me we did finally get a report that things had turned around. But that was the demon actually speaking out of his mouth and disclosing that. They'll do that under the pressure in Jesus' name and with God's angels around us. They always see the angels. They'll talk, and you can pin them down. So that is something that we learned and see quite a bit. I ministered to an attorney, a woman attorney today, spent 4 hours with her, and we concluded that that was some of what was going on with her. There were satanic assignments to influence the demons and the people around her with who she was working with and doing business with. And they're tricky. That's just one of the games they play. They are out to steal, kill, and destroy, and they're doing it many ways.
Well, one of the reasons I wanted to bring that up is that our people out there may not realize that all of the things that they're battling in their life may not be because of their inability to do it, or may not be because of a streak of bad luck. It may be an assignment against them. It may be Satan setting up, saying, I do not want this person to prosper. I do not want this person to be blessed. I do not want this person to walk in the Lord, because if they do, they're going to start destroying the satanic kingdom.
You got it. That's exactly right. We see that constantly.
Well, good. If anyone would like to call in with questions, it's 307-745-5913. Until you do, one thing, this ministry teaches, you know, baptism for the remission of sin, that teaches us the importance of communion, and I just wanted you to address that and how important you think that is in a person maintaining their salvation, maintaining their deliverance.
Well, yes, there's something supernatural about taking communion. We've all known that. I tell you where it really hit home with me. It's been a number of years ago. It must have been, I don't know, maybe 8 or 10 years ago. I was listening to Sid Roth and his show, on the radio one day, and Brother Sid Roth interviewed a doctor out of Florida named John Miller. And Dr. Miller is actually a chiropractor and been in nutrition a lot and all that, but he had wound up studying communion for like 25 years and had really become an expert on it. And I finally ordered his tapes and studied them. And as Dr. Miller related, if we really take communion as he felt like we're supposed to, with the understanding that we really are eating of the flesh of the sacrificial lamb, we're taking the blood of the sacrificial lamb, and what that means, that as we eat of the bread or drink of the wine or grape juice, that we are receiving the blessings of the new covenant, and spiritually, any attacks, satanic attacks, witchcraft has been put upon us, curses of all kinds, are technically broken under the covenant. As we eat of the bread, and physically we're healed. Jesus took our infirmities, of course, bore our sicknesses, and by his stripes we're healed. Matthew 8:17 and 1 Peter 2:24, that we're healed mentally, emotionally, and even financially. Like in 2 Corinthians 9, Jesus became poor that we might be rich. So that's all under the covenant. Besides our salvation and then the washing of our sins away. He told us in that, and I put it in my book, in fact, that experience on page 79 in my book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. So I take communion quite often. I don't wind up taking it every day, but I remember Dr. Miller talking about people that had cancer and major diseases, that some of them would wind up taking communion as much as several times a day, and they got healed. So there's something supernatural about taking communion, and I'd rather overtake communion than undertake communion. How's that sound?
Absolutely. Well, the way I've explained it to people is baptism is like the vaccination, and communion is the weekly booster shot.
Right.
One of the things, we're coming into a season when a lot of people are going to be doing things that are unchristian because of the Halloween season. We don't need to talk about that much, but I'd like you to address doorways. I was, because of our business, again, I was at an event last weekend, and there was gospel music, but I did not sense the Spirit of the Lord in any of it. As a matter of fact, I sensed a lot of evil and wickedness there, because of the type of music it was and the way they presented it. It looked just like a concert from the world. But what doorways are out there that people may be ignorant of, that they're allowing Satan and demons to have influence in their lives?
Well, there's 15 doors that we've identified over these years. I've been doing this 37 years now, and Deliverance Ministries Incorporated, I formed it in 1984, 31 years ago. And so we've learned a few things through the years. We started out rather naive, like many people in this kind of ministry, but as time went on and what we learned from other ministries, we've identified 15 doors that we try to get closed with each person that comes for ministry. We call it the door closing prayer. That's also in the book. And on our website, in fact, under self-ministry. But the biggest of the 15 doors is not forgiving people. And, you know, I didn't write the book. It's extremely clear that we are to forgive. I mean, even the Lord's Prayer that we all know, and my parents taught me to pray that early on, and in there even, it's, we are to forgive those who trespass against us. The point is, if we don't forgive, we're going to be turned to the tormentors, the demonic activity that Jesus talked about in Matthew 18:34 and 35. He said, if we don't forgive, will be turned to the tormentors. And we find the tormentors are about 36 demons. That's how many we get out of most people, and frankly, that's conservative. This lady today I ministered to, I haven't counted them, but that I know we got more than double of that out of her. Well, there's no way she wouldn't be better. And of course, when you cast them out, it's a real person that's left now, able to go forward in their lives using their God-given gifts and doing their destiny, as we talked about earlier.
Now, how do you, you know, people have thoughts, and, you know, there's a distinction between your thought, the distinction of a thought that God gives you, and then I think there's that demonic thought, and I don't know how it is, whether they whisper it in your ear or whether they're able to speak it at a vibration that you can hear audibly, but you can only hear subconsciously. What's your experience with people having thoughts and things spoken that they may think are their thoughts or God's thoughts that are actually demonic?
It seems to be present in really everyone that we minister to. There's a demon called the Deceiver, and it has a grouping of demons under its authority that have the ability to lie into their mind, to deceive and cause delusion and blinding, but this ability to lie into a Christian's mind is an interesting phenomenon. And of course, it isn't just Christians. Satan does that to all of mankind. They try to lie into our heads, hoping that we think it's our own thoughts, and to follow those thoughts. Of course, what's coming into our heads is negative things like nobody loves me, I'll never be able to do this or that, I can't ever be successful. You know, it just goes on and on. When I have a demon up, the head demon technique, as we call it, that's also described in the book. When I have a head demon up, one of the things I always do with it before I blow it away and rest the demons under its authority, I'll have it give me the top 10 lies it is speaking into this person's head. It's always there, the lie program. And I've never had a time when it couldn't give me the top 10 lies. And so I'll grab the yellow tablet and start writing them down. But it's things like I just mentioned, defeating kinds of lies. They're actually kind of similar from person to person. It's kind of the same defeating lies that it's speaking. And,
well, you know, the Bible teaches that we're worthy because of the blood of the Lamb and because of what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us. And then every day we hear and we're tormented with the thought that we're unworthy. How bad is that for our walk with Christ?
Oh, yeah, and that's extremely common. That woman today had that. That's usually there in every case. They're hearing that I'm not worthy. And, of course, we know what the Word says. By the blood of the Lamb, we are worthy. One of the things I do after I get the 10 lies down on the paper and after I'm through with the deliverance, before I blow the head demon away, I'll say to the demon, now, is this person buying into your lies? I've written these 10 lies down, the top 10. And it's interesting to me how the answers coming from the demon vary. He'll say sometimes, oh, we're doing such a good mission, this person is a pushover. And other times, though, the demon will say, talking through the person's mouth, we're having a hard time here. This person is standing on the Word too much. And you know, when you think about it, if a person really studies who they are in Christ Jesus and the promises that we have, they're not going to buy the lies. The sad thing is there's, in fact, quite a few of the Christian body that really do not know who they are in Jesus. They've not studied the Scriptures enough to know the blessings that they have from the cross, and they'll tend to buy into those lies.
Well, one of the things, you know, I've witnessed deliverance with you and been at your ministry there in Oklahoma City, was the power of when you actually used your Bible to touch a person, and the demons hate that. You want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure, Chris. And I learned that probably been over 30 years ago now, but a pastor from Arkansas actually shared that with me, that he was in deliverance, and he said that when you're ministering to someone and they feel the demon moving in their body, a lot of people do feel these spirits move in their body, usually coming out of their midsection, stomach area, and moving up. They come up through the throat, and the person will wind up yawning them out, coughing them out, or burping them out, or they just feel it go. But there's, yes, there's certain people that feel them go like that. So, see, what was the question again, Chris?
Just elaborate on how you use the Bible to move the demon out, and how they hate being touched by the Bible.
Right. So this pastor in Arkansas, he was telling me that when the person feels the demon moving in their body, that if you would take the Bible physically and touch on that spot, that the demon would run from the Bible. So if somebody felt it move up out of their stomach into, their shoulder area, I start trying this. I touch the Bible there on that spot. They'd say, I feel it over here. Well, I touch the Bible there, and then they might say, oh, I feel it up here in my throat. Well, then I'd move the Bible up to their throat. And then they might say, it's at the top of my head now. Well, then I'd move the Bible up to the top of their head. Finally, the demon would blow out. So we've learned to kind of chase those things with the physical word. They don't want to hear the word. They don't want to hear the name of Jesus. They don't want to hear about the blood of Jesus. They don't want anointing with oil. And they don't want to hear praying in tongues. We are loaded with weapons, which I think is pretty awesome that we have all this inheritance from the cross.
Amen. Well, if you're just joining us, I'm Chris. This is Hope is Alive. We're interviewing Mr. Everett Cox from Oklahoma City Deliverance Ministries. If you want to find out more about his ministry, you can go to deliveranceusa.org. That's deliveranceusa.org. And Mr. Cox, I was very impressed with your self-ministry tools that you have on the website. If you want to explain that to people and how they can go there and actually receive the blessing of being ministered to by you via the Internet.
It's pretty amazing, Chris, how well that has worked. We've actually had reports from people in other countries besides all over the U.S. That are not able to come to Oklahoma City for ministry, so they go to our website to self-ministry and watch the video teaching. They go through the door-closing prayer that is designed to close those 15 doors the best we can before ministry. It makes all the difference in the world, so ministry is easier and more efficient and lasting. And they go through the various steps that we've learned to do, breaking of ungodly soul ties, and inner healing, that is healing of emotional wounds of the past that still carry bad feelings in their lives. Jesus will come in and heal those, called inner healing. And then, of course, we work the list and finally get all the spirits out.
With so many people that I deal with, you just mentioned the spirit. I see that they're wounded in their spirit. And I'll give you a perfect example of that. I was just recently in a conversation about a Lutheran minister and how his wife had been rebellious, had really not been a wife as she should be according to the word of the Lord. And finally she got to a deliverance session where she was set free. But during that deliverance session, it was discovered that she was raped when she was young. That created a wound in her spirit. And that wound had to be healed before she could walk in the order and authority and under her husband as the Lord had commanded her to. And the man said that the difference between her was night and day from before the session and after the session.
Yes. Again, so many things are not flesh and blood, but it's something spiritual. The woman I ministered to today in that four-hour ministry, she had been raped, and she carried, heaviness and needed inner healing. She had wounds, emotional wounds, bad feelings from that, and also an ungodly soul tie that had to be broken. It was who the perpetrator was, and And she had wonderful, we had wonderful ministry today. That's what drives us on. The people, most of the time, you know, they've got such a Jesus overhaul that many of them, they look younger even. And we saw quite a bit of that Monday night. We only had 9 exorcisms Monday night. We had, I think, 12 on the list. There were some cancellations, but we had a minister for each person, and I did one case as well, besides the teaching and the preparation. But it's the testimonies that drive us on. It's so amazing that God would use little us as believers to do this. I'm not out of a seminary. I'm not a priest. I'm a former mortgage banker, CEO of a mortgage banking company in the past. And yet, God will use any believer that will step up to the plate and get some boot camp under their belt. We're all licensed to do this as a believer. You don't have to go to a seminary.
The power comes from Lord and believing His Word, not from us.
Exactly. And otherwise, we'd all be in trouble, wouldn't we?
Yes. Now, one thing I'd like to encourage everyone to do is go to the website again, deliveranceusa.org. But also, I've noticed on your website there's a PayPal where people can contribute to your ministry. You know, if many of you out there can even $5 or $10 a month contribute to this ministry, because I'm telling you that they are doing the work of the Lord. If they set free 700 people last year, and if those 700 people are able to go out and maybe set another 700 or 1,000 free, that's the way it started. Remember, Jesus started with 12, and then 11,
yes,
and how quickly it spread through the world. But that's what they would do then, is they would teach people to walk in the power and the authority. And that's one thing I like to see us do, is teach and train people to walk in the power and the authority that the Lord has given us, because people do not even recognize that they have that power and authority.
Yes, we see that constantly, and of course we have training going on every Monday night. It's free training, and that's where our teams have come from, are people that have been through an exorcism, through deliverance, and after they've been through and set free themselves, they realize there's all these other people around them that have these problems, and they have a compassion as they were set free to now go out and try to set others free. So they go through our training and ultimately become a team leader, and that's where teams come from.
You know, we had a man that did a study, and he calculated Jesus's healings and deliverances. I think it was 37% of everything that Jesus dealt with that was mentioned was deliverance, setting people free from demons.
Interesting, isn't it? I've heard that too. Typically, what I heard was a third, but either figure is very impressive. And and since Jesus told us to do His same works in His name, it's pretty clear what we are to be doing.
Well, let me ask you this. I think a lot of people are in such a bondage and tormented that they cannot fully walk in the Word. And they do not have an understanding yet of being a Christian. You know, it says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. They're not even able to get to that point because they have been so tormented, been told every day that they're unworthy, that they're not a Christian, that they're faking it. What's your experience around that?
Well, that's, again, very, very common. You know, I did a radio show here in Oklahoma City for 22 years, 5 days a week. They were pre-taped, and they were interviews of people that were set free from demonic activity and also had a lot of physical healings. And a lot of people never learn about this until they are tormented so much themselves that somebody shares with them. Now, they may find something online about it. Some people know they have demons. There's no guesswork about it. They hear them talking to them. They may see them. They feel them in their body. They we get a certain number of calls that people have that kind of thing going on, and they are looking for help. Somebody help me. They often go to their churches, and they don't know what to do with it. And there's just not many ministries around like this. Fact is, I don't know of another ministry exactly like the way we're doing it with teens to this degree. It's in training of people like this, where we have a steady flow of people coming. It's funny, the Lord will send about a dozen people, sometimes 15, every week. And we'll usually have enough teams for them. Occasionally, we've had too many come in, but that's pretty rare. If we do, then we have to, you know, double up or do some group activity. But we'll still have plenty of one-on-one with the most of the members or teams that we have present. But yeah, it's just everywhere, Chris. And they have to get tormented enough to reach out a lot of times, because they'll find going to doctors so typically does not help if it's spiritual like this.
Well, do you think that Hollywood has put such a stigma on it and made such a comic book out of it and joked with it so much, like the devil made me do it, and, you know, the church lady who said, "Who made you do that, Satan?" that people feel silly thinking or mentioning to someone that they think mm-hmm. they may have a demonic influence in their life?
Well, naturally, Hollywood has done their part of it. You know how they are. They always want to show the most spectacular. And there are spectacular cases. We have them from time to time. Our typical Monday evening is rather low-key. They feel them moving around and coming out of them, but they're not thrashing around and screaming and all that. Even again, on occasion, we have that. Usually it's with people that have a witchcraft background, and those demons are often quite defiant. But the typical, Hollywood, remember the old exorcism movie came out, I think it was in the 70s. I saw that back then, and of course I just kind of figured it was Hollywood. But we don't, you know, they always overdo anything for the movie, so... It's not like that in the typical day-to-day activities. We go many, many Mondays without ever having anything, even an outcry. They may talk out of their mouths, but they're not real loud and all that kind of thing. So, you know, the movies overdo it.
Well, there's a lot of people out there that have physical ailments that nothing seems to help. Medicine doesn't seem to help. Herbs, vitamins, you know, whatever they try. How much of that do you think may be influenced or caused by demons?
Oh, I think a lot. Some people think it's 100%. I don't know that it is. A head cold or something. I don't know if that's a demon. I don't know where the line is, but I can tell you there are plenty of spirits of infirmity. And the major diseases and all, I think in every case, Jesus in Luke 13:11, in there we read, it's very clear in the King James, where he cast a spirit of infirmity out of this woman. Now this woman was in the synagogue, and Jesus said of her problem in Luke 13 that this is a spirit of infirmity. She was bent over, bowed over some way, something of the back maybe. But Jesus said it is a spirit of infirmity that has been put on this woman these 18 years by Satan. Now that's pretty clear that there are spirits of infirmity out there, and we certainly run into them constantly. Of the 31 testimonies that I put on our website that's off my old radio show, about half of them are from physical healings, and they tell their story, how Jesus set them free that way, spirits of infirmity. So I think they're very common, really.
Well, let me read Luke 13:11. And behold, a woman that had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and she was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her and said to her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God.
So what he was doing there, when he loosed it, he was casting that spirit of infirmity out, and then he laid on of hands for healing. And there's another scripture along those lines, Acts 10:38, that really brings the point home, where we read how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all of those who were oppressed of the devil. That's pretty clear, too.
Yes. Now, one of the things, we've talked about your ministry on Monday night. You've mentioned that you generally 3 to 5 hours for a deliverance session.
Well, yes, on Monday nights, that includes the teaching. We do a teaching of a little over an hour, and then we finally go through after the break this door-closing prayer. It takes about around 20 minutes or so. There's a little teaching put in there as well on how to stay free. And at that point, while the people work on the unforgiveness, I go over to the other room in this church. We rent a church on Monday nights to do this. I go over to the other room where the teams are. They come in, and we've had teaching and all over there. But we take communion, and of course they have praise and worship going before I get over there, and then we take communion. And then also, Brother Richard Peterson, my associate here in Deliverance Ministries, he sounds off the shofar to commence our spiritual battle, warfare, and victory over the demons. That no doubt shakes them up a little bit right there. And then we all go over the teams, all of us, and I assign a minister to each person that's wanting ministry, and then they go to a distant place in the church, corners here and there, and we scatter out, so it's a private life.
Do you think that the worship music aggravates the demons?
Oh, yes. There are people that get delivered, they'll have levels of deliverance just from praise and worship. There's nothing like
Satan
praise and worship.
I think that's why Satan has worked so hard to pervert legitimate worship and legitimate music.
That's right. That's right. Well, you came over the night you were here, and you heard our praise and worship going, and the Holy Spirit's anointing builds as we do that.
Well, the way I explain it to people, you know, we were in the main sanctuary there, and we walked back to the room where they were playing praise music, and people were praying. It was like walking into a bubble. As soon as you entered, you felt the Holy Spirit. You felt a spirit of worship, a spirit of praise, a spirit of humility, and you felt the presence of the Lord. And these were people in there preparing to go into battle for their brethren. And you just knew that when you walked into the room. No one had to tell you. But it was that kind of experience.
Yes. And that does break the yoke. It rattles her cage big time. Amen. So, and then when he sounds the shofar off, that further commences the charge against the enemy.
Well, is there anything you'd like to say to our people as we come close to the end? Maybe more about your ministry or what you would like to see happen with the interviews that we've been doing here on this program?
Well, we need this everywhere in the Christian body, and I sadly, it appears to me a good 90% of the Christian body, maybe even higher than that, they do not have an understanding of this works of Jesus and the commands that he gave us to do this and to set the people free. I see now why Jesus so adamantly commanded us to do this like in the last chapter of Mark. The reason he commanded us to do it is because most Christians have them. They got born again and they're going to heaven, but they're not living life abundant here on earth, and these demons are blocking their ministries, blocking everything, their finances, what have you. And the enemy is doing a pretty good job of it. They've had a lot of practice at it, and they are good at what they do. But praise God, from the cross, we as believers have all power over the enemy if we use it. Most Christians have their weapons in their holsters. They're not pulling them out. They're not shooting at anything. And most Christians, just like I was until age 44, I had no idea the war was going on.
Now, in your 37 years, I'm sure that you've ran into one, maybe two naysayers. What do you say to them?
Well, it's a little hard for someone to talk me out of this 37 years later, because I spent 37 years of casting demons out of Christians. Most everybody that comes is already a born-again Christian. I take a survey right in the beginning, early on there, when I ask, now, how many here are born-again Christians, believers in Christ Jesus? And their hands go up. Now, occasionally we've had people come because of the torment, and they are not born-again Christians. Well, of course, I explain to them that I'll be taking it's necessary to put yourself under the authority of the Lord Jesus, so the demons are under your authority in his name, not to mention you don't have your ticket to heaven until you're born again. So if you're not sure, I'll be taking us all through the salvation prayer in the very first part of the door-closing prayer. And so we do get a certain number of people born again because of that. We're able to minister to them because they are tormented so much. They go to wherever somebody can help them.
Have you seen that people, once they're delivered, that their understanding of the Word becomes easier?
Oh, absolutely. Everything. This lady today was just, she says, oh, I feel so lighter. And of course, your minds will clear up. These demons will clog your mind up. And that's, again, one of the reasons Jesus commanded believers to cast these things out, because it's rampant everywhere, and it's no different than back in the days when Jesus was here.
Okay, now, at the beginning of the program, Richard read a letter about a lady that just received your book. You want to talk about that just a second and let people know they can either get it from Scriptures for America or they can get it from your ministry?
Sure. This is not just a book. It is a book manual. And while there's various testimonies in here, and there's even a chapter on the weird and funny things I've seen Christians do, say and do, we've seen all kinds of funny things. Just like a procrastination spirit one time said, let's put this off till tomorrow. they'll tend to manifest their mission, you know. But it's a book manual. If you're interested in learning to do this kind of ministry, what we have here are proven in the field techniques. You know, we've done deliverances lots of different ways. We've learned from different ministries here and there. And we put together what we're comfortable with and what obviously works well, the breaking of ungodly soul ties, doing inner healing, and working the deliverance list. That everything that we do in here is in the book. So if somebody wants to learn how to do it, this is, you got a running start. I just had a call this morning from a man in Alda, southwest Oklahoma, and he's just come up to Oklahoma City twice. He got my book, and he's been using it, and he had a lady set free. He was so excited to tell it. One of her things was she had hoarding going on. She was hoarding. It was just unbelievably how much stuff she had in her house, and that after deliverance that he did with her, she's cleaned her house out. So she had other items or situations, issues as well. But he was so excited to get the report, and he's brand new at doing it.
Good. And you also have DVDs and CDs available on the website?
Yes, and different packages. The book is available also on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Kindle. Some people have been putting it on their iPhone and all, and so it's available there.
Well, Mr. Cox, I'd like to thank you for being with us tonight. Again, if you'd like to find out more about Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City, you can go to deliveranceusa.org. That's deliveranceusa.org. Is there anything you'd like to close with?
Well, my counsel would be to go forth that through the blood of the Lamb, every Christian can do this. This is not a special gift ministry. That's why I can teach the teams. The teams are from every church around the area here. It isn't any one background. If you're a born-again Christian, you're licensed to learn, get some boot camp, and go do this. It's not a special gift area at all. It is normal Christianity.
It's what we should be doing as servants of the King of Kings.
Amen.
And setting our people free.
They're all around us.
All right, well, Richard, are you there?
I am. And we're out of time.
Any questions for Mr. Cox as we finish it? Oh, okay.
I think we're good. We're good. I'm reading the book as well. Haven't completed it, but I've started it, and I'm finding it very interesting myself. So, well, men, thanks for joining us. Folks, you're listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. And our address, if you want to write, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Thanks, men.
Blessings.
Yep.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive, hope lives on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a deep strong. When there is silence, hope gives a song. Out there in hay world, it seems so wrong. Hope lives on. I still recall that bright September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn. Like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be. When the darkness came to take our hope away, hey, hope is alive, hope lives on. Hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a